the pitchers, guys who aren't working tonight, guys who aren't pitching tonight, what's going through the minds of guys ahead of the last game of the season right now?
Oh, they're praying that it's a 1-0 ball game and that it's over in 2 hours. This will be the shortest game, the most wished for short game of any player on the team all year. This will be the one that they want to go the fastest. That is what's going through everybody's mind. To get out of there, to go home, and as you said, choose your own friends again, because the season has been over for a lot of these guys for over a month now, and this is just the slow execution to get it done tonight. And they're hoping that it is not a tie ball game, that it does not go extra innings, just a nice, quick, merciful killing. Either way, doesn't matter who wins or loses, they just want it to be over.
And Buck Rogers used to always tell the players, these are the games where you swing at the first pitch.
Oh, yeah.
Swing
absolutely.
Away.
You know what?
Don't work the count. Swing away.
Yeah, they're going to be – if a guy has a good day, let's say, even if it's Edwin Encarnacion, let's say he goes 5-for-5 with all these extra base hits, guys on the team are going to be mad because he's slowing the game down with all this hitting. You pull the chute, man. Swing at the first pitch. Strike out. Don't be afraid. Hit a home run. Strike out. One or the other. Just don't make the game go longer by getting on base. Let's just get this over with. I've been in games like that. I know how guys feel. Integrity, professionalism. When you're almost 20 games under 500, those things kind of slip away in the last game of the season.
You ever given up a home run to get a game over?
No, I've never given up a home run. I mean, if I could... I have grooved pitches.
Yes.
Because I knew the other team was swinging first pitch early. Yes, I have done that. But I've never, I wish I could control where the ball went after I threw it.
I figured maybe you were one of those, in spring training every now and then, sometimes teams bring guys along, and if the game looks like it's dragging or going possibly of even having a 10th inning, they just kind of let them, they say, fastball down the middle of the plate.
Well, that definitely happens. I've been in plenty of games, plenty of blowout minor league games where, guys just want to get out of there. That last game of the season is so interesting for so many reasons. On both sides. I mean, I've been involved in games at the last part of the season where we know the guys on the other team, and they basically just tell us before the game, just throw it over the plate, we'll swing at it. We want to get out of here too. Like, we got a flight to catch, because in the minors, guys are booking their own flights home.
Right.
So, they get – it's not like they have the luxury of telling the big league travel agent, whatever convenient first-class flight back that you can come up with, book it for me. Like, they have to pay for it themselves and get it all set up. And then they get nervous because they want – I mean, it is the earliest possible flight available to get out of there. So, yeah, there's definitely a market for grooving first-pitch fastballs.
With Dirk Hayhurst on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Jason Stark of ESPN gave out his year-end awards. He gave out his Cy Young Award, his Cy Yuck Award, his most valuable player and least valuable player. And the Jays had a couple of them. Yunel Escobar mentioned as the least valuable player award. And I've got to tell you, I've known Jason Stark for 24 years. I've never seen him be that harsh on a guy as he was on Yunel Escobar. Quoting a scout, essentially, Yunel shows us something new every day that just defies the heights of stupidity. And Ricky Romero as the Cy Yuck pitcher, for the weight of his statistics. And I wanted to ask you, Dirk, how bad has Ricky's season been? Statistically, it's been awful, but how bad has his season been?
Well, I'm hesitant to bash Ricky Romero at this point. I don't think, looking back with the hindsight that the end of the season brings you, when I look at Ricky, I do not see this horrible failure that everyone else sees. Maybe
right.
It's just because I've played, but, I see a guy who literally went through hell this year, both on the field numerically and off the field, because he learned a very hard but nonetheless valuable lesson that, you, the person, and you, the player, are two different things. And I think that when he was at his lowest, he saw his life completely controlled by the paradigm of baseball. And ultimately, that paradigm was one of failure on the field. You know, when I look at Ricky, I see a guy who wanted to go out there every day, every time he could take the ball, he wanted to be back on the mound. And he knew he was getting his butt kicked. It was sad to watch. Some of those games were hard to watch for a pitcher because, and I had said this before, I said, he's out there and it's embarrassing right now. I mean, he doesn't have it. He's getting shown up. He can't control the pitches. I mean, it's one inning outing. My goodness, as a big league all-star, that is embarrassing. But to his credit, I mean, he did not quit. He did not give up. He did not walk away. It was hard. You could see it on his face. He wanted to go back out there. He wanted to finish strong. I mean, that takes a kind of integrity and professionalism that you don't often see in pro sports. There should have been a time where I think Ricky went down so he could work on some stuff in a safer environment. And people, they like to yawn and wax philosophical about what do you say to a guy's psyche if you send him to the minors? You don't say anything. You certainly don't say anything as bad as you're terrible right now, but we'll keep throwing you out there so you can get your face rubbed in it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like saying you need help and that's what the minors are there for. And that never happened. But he didn't get upset about it. He didn't call out the organization. He didn't yell at the fans who were on him. He didn't call out Jason Stark for his stupid award. He went out there and he kept trying to do his job. You know, I can understand if you want to be down on a guy who, like, if you know Escobar was in Ricky Marrero's situation and he was going out there and he was making an ass of himself and he was a giant failure all year, and you want to be down on the guy, okay. But Ricky took this with class and professionalism. He went out there, he tried his best to do his job, even though you could tell he wasn't right, on a team that was completely broken from the beginning of the year to the end of it. I mean, you got to give him some credit there. If you want to bash Yunel Escobar, I know that's fashionable right now because Yunel did something really stupid. And you know what? If you want to make fun of him because he did something stupid, that's fine. But at some point, you have to let that go and realize that he's a player. And most of this year, he's been doing his job on the field. He hasn't been a phenomenal all-star like everybody wanted, but he has been doing his job. So I think for Jason to go back to that, and I'm friends with Jason, so it kind of surprises me that he would drag that up just to kind of have a salacious award. And you know what? There's been other stupid things that have happened all throughout the year, guys getting in fights outside of hotels for other teams and going to jail, drunk driving incidents, meth incidents. I think this low-hanging fruit for Jason. And usually it's not like that, but, you know, yuck on him, man. That's not cool.
We're joined by Dirk Hayhurst on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. A bunch of us had a chat with Ricky on Sunday. He came out to the dugout, and, you know, it was basically the year-end talk that the ace pitcher usually ends up having, and it was a combination of chat and interview. But two things became pretty clear to me. One, I think... Ricky said, you know, he said, even when I was 8-1, even when I was doing well, I kept looking for stuff that wasn't right because it didn't feel right, you know. And he said Brandon Morrow and even Omar Vizquel said, hey, just, you're 8-1, just enjoy it. You know, I mean, it's, you know, don't start nitpicking success. Don't start looking for issues, you know, when you're having success. And he said, you know, I think I spent too much time looking at tape of myself, and I really got the sense that this is a guy who essentially, Dirk thought himself into a funk.
Oh, I agree. And I think you could see that as the season developed. You know, you had a guy that was answering questions that weren't asked to him.
Right.
You know, like he would start to monologue after defeats about, you know, what fans expect of him and how he let people down and, you know, who he's betraying by pitching this poorly. No, you're not betraying anybody, Ricky. I mean, I'm no counselor, but you know, you're not betraying or letting anybody down. You're letting yourself down, and now you're projecting that on everybody is this perceived belief that everyone out there is pointing a finger and burning your jersey, and that just wasn't happening. I mean, baseball is a game of luck and inches, so if you want to look for something that you could do better, you will always find it. Especially if you're a pitcher, you will always find something that you got away with that maybe you shouldn't have gotten away with. And that is a part of the game. And so for you to analyze that gray roll-of-the-dice area, you're always going to turn up something that you feel like you could do better. That's just a part. I mean, when you're a perfectionist and you're hungry and you want to prove yourself, you will search for those things. And not only that, but it sounds good when you find them.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I'm 8-1, but, you know, there's like 3 or 4 fastballs that I got away with. And, you know, it's very romantic to talk that way. Isn't he humble? You know, I get that. But if you dwell on that stuff, it'll break you down. And you saw Ricky do this over and over again with those questions that he would ask of himself in his interviews. You know, he let down the hardest judge in the world, but that wasn't the fans. That was himself. And I think that he learned a valuable lesson this year, which is not to judge himself so hard, because over time, that negative voice in your head, whether you're using it to find positive criticism or constructive criticism, that negative voice will eventually bust you into a point where you cannot beat it, and you'll never go away. It's always in there. So I think he learned that he has to really control that going forward. And I think that's a valuable lesson for every baseball player, and it'll be good to have a guy like him in the locker room who can tell that to other youngsters who are bound to do it. That cycle will repeat. It's nice to have a veteran that's been through hell, because he can tell you how to get back out of it.
Dirk, before we let you run very quickly, your surprise and your disappointment this year for the Blue Jays.
I'm surprised that the Blue Jays did not go out and make a bigger starting pitcher move, considering who's going to be available and who's not going to be available on the free agency market for starting pitching staff. So I really would have liked to have seen them gone out and deal some prospects for some really solid front-end starting pitching, because I think it's going to be hard this offseason. So I'll be interested to see who they come up with, because they've really tooted the horn about finding somebody good. I just want to see them put their money where their mouth is.
Mm-hmm. And your biggest surprise, Casey?
Casey Jansen?
Yeah.
That's a welcome surprise.
It really is.
But I think it's tough. It's tough to say. I'm surprised they didn't lose. I'm surprised they're not 20 games below .500, to be honest with you.
Right.
Considering all the injuries they've had. That's my biggest surprise.
Right.